Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KGMZ FM and HD1 and KGMZ San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
It is great to be with you. Thanks so much for stopping by today. It is really good to have you. Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, is going to be joining us in just a little bit. Looking forward to that conversation as always. It's officially time now for our Alaska Flyaway contest, but I don't have the page that I need to have that I printed out. Albie, can you get it for me with the question on it, or do you have it?
Can we have Steve Kerr?
I'll tell you what, we're going to do this after we have Coach Kerr. I appreciate him bailing me out. We will get to our flyaway contest in just a minute. But right now, Steve Kerr joins us, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, and we are not going to make him wait for a little contest. This guy's in the middle of a playoff series. Let's use his time wisely. Steve is brought to us by Mancini's Sleep World, simply the best place to buy a mattress, and brought to you by the Bay Club. Get more at the Bay Club. More boxing, more pickup games, more laps in the pool. Visit BayClubMore.com for a three-day pass to get started today. Coach, it's great to have you on. As always, thank you very much for joining us, and congratulations. 2-0 looks really good against this Pelicans team, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, that's the whole thing, is you always want to win your two home games. If you're starting out the series on your home floor, you take care of business, and then you try to go get one on the road.
All right. Steph Curry back in the mix. That is just a weapon to be added to the arsenal that no other team can pull out halfway through a series to bring him off the bench. Please take me through that thought process and how you even had to sell that to Steph Curry. I'm guessing it was easy. He's got such a his ego's invisible.
It wasn't hard at all. In fact, when we were heading into the series for game one, we had talked about maybe playing him in game one, and the plan was, hey, let's say 20 minutes off the bench. And then we decided not to win, obviously. So when game two came around, he actually brought it up to me. He said, what do you think about, having that same plan, but for this game, because we played so well in game one and, the guys are in a good place. So I don't know how many superstars are out there that would actually present that to the coach, but that's who Steph is. And that's why he is the leader that he is. And he gets it, and he just wants to win, and he wants everybody to do well, and so it all played out perfectly.
Well, and again, we're not going to ask you to talk about other teams' players, but the contrast between Carmelo Anthony's exit interview quotes about coming off the bench possibly in the future and looking at what Steph Curry did in a playoff game, a two-time MVP playing the role of sixth man in a playoff game, it's just one more luxury that you get to enjoy as a head coach, Steve. It really is incredible. You made me look bad as a host because I assumed that when you mentioned there was no minute restrictions on him, that it would be business as usual. And as usual, he would be in the starting lineup. So you kind of surprised us there.
Well, I wanted people to know that there wasn't a minute restriction on his health. I was trying to get the message out there that his knee's fine. That's the good news. But the bad news is he hasn't played in 6 weeks, and so any sort of minutes restriction was only based on his conditioning. So there was no holds barred in terms of his knee, and that was the biggest mess out there. After that, it was just a matter of trying to limit his minutes to keep his bursts and to keep him fresh. And it seemed to me he was getting tired after 6-7 minutes while he was out there, and then we'd take him out and then we'd get him back in.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. One of the traits that all the great ones share is that they make it look easy when they're out there, and they have a tendency to rise to the moment. watching him drop that first three, I swear, I would have bet next month paycheck that he was going to hit his first three. I mean, like, he just has a sense of timing, and man, he takes shots that anyone else in the history of the game takes them. It's a terrible shot, but when Steph does it, you know, like, oh wow, he really stretches the floor. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, it is crazy. I mean, it was literally, I think, maybe 10 seconds after he got on the floor, maybe, and you know, Aldridge moving and, you know, get his legs loose.
Oh, Steve, you're breaking up a little bit. You're cutting in and out there on your phone line. Ooh, did we lose Steve? That sounded fatal at the end there. It really did. That did not sound like a good connection. Oh, we put him on hold? Oh, look at us with a bold move. Let's see if we can bring Steve Kerr off the bench. Let's see if we can bring Coach off the bench to come on in and finish out this interview. Steve, have we still got you?
I'm still here. You got me?
Fantastic. We still got you. Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, we were really just talking about this guy rising to the moment, just playing up to the occasion. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Just the confidence and the ability to come back after such a long absence and just fire away and feel so confident. That first play was just remarkable. We were just trying to get the ball moving and you know, just get a little side-to-side action. And I didn't think he was going to come off and fire away from 28 feet, but he did. You guys are incredible.
You know the scene in Jaws where Roy Scheider's on the back of Flint's boat and he's just chumming the waters and they're trying to get the shark to take the bait? I felt that's what the Pelicans were doing with Draymond Green last night. They were just chumming the waters, dying for him to take the bait. You got Rondo barking at his chin at the end of the half. You got Mirotic stepping to him in a way that if Draymond ever did that, he'd probably be imprisoned for a while. Then, of course, you've got WrestleMania with Davis and Draymond, like Kama Sutra positions on the court there. It was like they did everything they could to get him ejected from that game, and Draymond didn't take the bait once, Steve. Not once.
No, he got into it, but he knew exactly where to draw the line, and that's always the key with Draymond. Can he walk that line and you know, compete like crazy without losing control? And I thought he did that. If anything, they sort of tried to goad him, as you said. I mean, Mirotic, on that layup, definitely got right into Draymond's face. Draymond got back into him, and same thing with Rondo. So, yeah, this is playoff basketball. You know, this is how it's going to be. And I think it's great. It's just high-level competition.
It is. And Draymond, he is rising to it. I've never seen a guy who gives you like 12 to 15 points in a game have more of an impact on big playoff games than this guy. He really is. He is a little Dennis Rodman-y. There's no other way to. I don't think there's anyone to really compare him to but Dennis Rodman.
Well, Rodman is the obvious comparison defensively and on the glass, but Draymond is so much better than Rodman was on the offensive end.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's our passer and ball handler and basically kind of a point forward for us. So it is really tough to come up with a comp in terms of both sides of the ball. It's just he's unbelievably unique.
I thought the sequence of the night, maybe the year so far, is Durant had a little bit of a sloppy turnover. Steph steals the ball right back. They high five on their way down the court together. Curry goes through the lane, trips. Durant just pulls up and hits a right in my office baseline jumper. Like when those two guys are clicking, and I know Kevin wasn't clicking early, but at the end, I mean, them closing out a game is something you can take a lot of comfort in, really. I mean, it's just amazing to watch them work together.
Yeah, we're obviously so lucky to have this kind of talent on the team. And, you know, one guy goes out and the other guy steps up and vice versa. And obviously you got more than that with Clay and Draymond and Andre. I mean, I thought Andre, his game went so unnoticed and underappreciated last night. He was tremendous, tremendous. And when you have those five guys as the core of your team, man, what a luxury.
Steve, unnoticed, unappreciated, Kevon Looney, he fits that bill almost every night for you. And I tell you, unnoticed is probably the wrong description because it's easy to notice that guy. When he is out there, he is in the middle of all of it. You went out of your way to tout Kevon in times where I thought you were overselling earlier in the year, just looking for something different to talk about. But, you know, you really meant it. Like, this guy has turned into one of the most important Golden State Warriors.
Well, it's because of his versatility defensively. You know, it's the name of the game these days. You got to be able to guard multiple positions. You got to stay in front of point guards, but you got to battle big guys. You know, can you protect the rim and also guard screen and roll on the perimeter? It's not easy, but Looney can do all that. And he doesn't wow you. He's not that fast. He doesn't jump very high, but he's just really smart. Got really good feel and instincts, and he blends in well with our other guys.
Mike Brown's not going to leave you for the Knicks job, is he?
I don't know. I always want all of my assistants to get a head coaching job. I mean, you know, it's happened with Alvin and Luke Walton, and you know, both Mike and Jaren Collins have interviewed in the last week with teams. So, you know, selfishly, I hope guys stay, but we always want them to move on with their careers and get these great opportunities. So we'll see what happens.
You're just going to chain Rod Adams to a radiator in the practice facility and tell him he can't go anywhere?
Yeah. Can you imagine? That would be great if Ron took a head coaching job. It'd be just old school. Just, come on, guys, let's go. 3-hour practice right now.
Shirts and skins, no ball, 3 hours. Let's go.
Right. Take a charge drill. We're doing the take the charge drill.
By the way, I know you're a reader. You probably have picked up a New York Times in your day. Did you see Don Nelson's interview in the New York Times?
I read it. I showed it to the rest of the staff. I said, we should all aspire to be Don Nelson. It was awesome.
Nelly Kush, are you serious?
You have your own strain named after you? It's incredible.
It really is incredible. There's no doubt about it. Not that you have ever partook in the strain, but I have to ask, have you ever been at one of those poker games, Steve?
I have not. I did call Nelly last year, kind of mid-season, just to get his thoughts on our team. And, you know, he basically told me that he liked watching the games, but he's just enjoying it as a fan now, and he had a few thoughts, but mostly he was just cheering for us. And you know, once a Warrior, always a Warrior. But what a scene that must be at that house in Maui with all those famous people playing poker.
It's got to be pretty good. I'll tell you what a scene it was in Oracle when you brought Steph off the bench. It was really something else. If you were looking for a little boost of energy, you got one right there. But I'm guessing you'll probably put him back in that starting lineup for Game 3.
Oh, yeah. He'll start Game 3. I mean, you know, you don't keep a guy like that on the bench for long. The whole point was, you know, we knew we weren't going to play him huge minutes, and we were in a good groove. We played a great Game 1. Just wanted to keep things going. But now that, you know, the focus shifts and there's a few days till the next game, he's going to play a few more minutes. So he'll be in the starting lineup.
Charles Barkley, Draymond Green, we going to smoke a peace pipe or are we going to have Fight Club?
Did I see that Charles apologized today?
I guess he did. I guess he did, yes.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, anything Charles says, you take with a grain of salt. You know, I mean, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. It's just Charles being Charles. It's, you know, that's why he's good at what he does. He just says stuff, and it's funny. And so I didn't take it very seriously.
Draymond obviously did, or you just don't mess with a man when his blood is up, and Draymond is just in playoff mode right now. How about this? You know, the NBA is talking about micro-subscriptions. Mic'd up, unedited Draymond Green on adult-only pay-per-view, 99 cent per regular season game, $2.99 per playoff game. It would cost fans about $145 a year, which is about a cost of an upper deck ticket. I think it's a great deal. I'm looking for a 2% finder's fee. Draymond Green, unedited pay-per-view. You basically get that every night, Steve. You get it for free.
I would not subscribe. But it is interesting, for sure.
I bet it is.
But he's in full playoff mode right now and playing so well and so locked in. It's just so much fun to see.
You are looking really good, Steve. Congratulations on being up 2-0 here. Have a good time when you get down to New Orleans. Obviously, Game 3 is a huge one. You can turn this into a matter of time with a Game 3 win, and that's what we hope you can go out and do. Stay healthy in the meantime, and have a good trip to New Orleans.
Thanks, Damon. Take care.
Thank you very much. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. And it's officially time now for the 95-7 The Game playoff flyaway presented by Alaska Airlines. We're sending one person and a guest to watch the Dubs play in Game 4 in New Orleans. The first caller to correctly answer the following trivia question at 888-957-9570 is going to have a chance to participate in the final trivia face-off tomorrow at 6 o'clock. For more information, you can go to 957thegame.com. Here is your trivia question. How many combined points did Steph Curry and Kevin Durant score last night against New Orleans? How many combined points did Steph Curry and Kevin Durant score last night against New Orleans? First correct answer at 888-957-9570. We'll have a chance to participate in the final trivia face-off tomorrow at 6 o'clock. So good luck to you. How many combined points did Steph Curry and Kevin Durant score last night against New Orleans? Or the Warriors last night were just everything we wanted them to be, everything that we expected them to be, all the, you know, sports talk radio, we have high standards, we have demands, and all the things that we said all year long, like, they just met all of them last night, pretty much. And even though there were moments of sloppiness, there were no moments of real rust. There is no concern about the time off. Curry, he stepped on the court and, like we just talked about, went right to work.
And that noise you hear is the crowd coming to a standing ovation. Stephen Curry trying to check in here. They won't let him in because it's an end one situation with the free throw. The foul, they haven't listed the foul yet. It's got to be on Iguodala, I think. Jason Phillips, who's usually a good official, adamant, now they will let Curry in.
And then he went to work.
First name Stephen, last name Curry. He came into my life, now everything is left.
Stephen Curry, bringing up the floor down the right side. With Draymond Green, Curry, curling off the screen, catches left side, shoots a shot, it's up and good, a three ball for Curry. And just like that, he has welcome back. Curry in the front court, goes behind the back, dribbles it off his foot, saved it from going backcourt. Now takes a dribble, takes a 30-footer! Curry!
Holiday was out there. He just didn't think he was shooting from that distance.
Nobody Curry puts the ball ahead. This pulls up downtown. Curry knocked it down again. Curry with a strut and a pose. 13 in the third. It's 86-80 Warriors.
He held the pose. He held that pose. He did. That was a good one or two heartbeats. Have we got our winner on hold? Emily from Sunnyvale is our winner. She knew the correct answer. How many combined points did Steph Curry and Kevin Durant score last night? And Emily told us. Emily, how are you?
57. Hi, how are you?
57 is right, and we are doing very well. And you are qualified. We might be talking to you tomorrow awesome. As one of our finalists, and we'll wish you the very best of luck.
I can't wait. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for calling. And let me tell you, for a show that has been accused of rigging situations where we have more male qualifiers than female qualifiers for the golden ticket, Mr. Misogyny was incorrectly labeled.
3 days in a row now, Damon.
Uno, dos, tres. Women.
Yeah.
Have qualified.
It's awesome.
It is.
Nice
well,
to hear the ladies are listening.
Well, it's nice to hear less calls of me rigging the contest. That's certainly nice. Now I'm sure I'll be accused of re-rigging the contest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Always something.
Damon, this is totally rigged. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Could you please play Charles Barkley's apology? I don't have Charles Barkley's apology, but apparently he did say on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, says, I want to be man enough to apologize. I was 100% wrong. I said something that I shouldn't have had. And he basically said this.
Rondo and Draymond Green.
That's what you want to call it?
What do you want to call it, Chuckster?
I just want somebody to punch him in the face.
Which one? American Express Halftime Report.
I really do. I just want somebody to punch him in the face.
Why you don't like Draymond?
Yo, Jay in Atlanta.
I want to punch him in the face.
Why you don't like Draymond? I'm just telling you, I want to punch his ass in the face. I do.
Why? Why? Relax, what makes you upset?
You asked me a question. I gave you a
So, you know, you probably just shouldn't be talking about that if you are one of the lead analysts on one of the lead TV shows of a partner with a league that you represent. And you just can't be the, well, you know, I get to say whatever I want all the time. No repercussion for Chuck. Sometime there'll be repercussion for Chuck. And Draymond, he's just no mood last night.
I think a lot of guys talk on TV, stand behind a microphone and a TV screen. Fact of the matter is, if you feel that strongly about something, he's seen me a million times. If he feel that strongly about it, then punch me in my face when you see me. If you're not going to punch me in my face when you see me, then shut up. It's no different than somebody sitting behind a computer screen tweeting, I'll knock you out and you never see him in life. Well, he's seen me a bunch of times, and he'll see me again this year. Punch me in the face when you see me, or if not, no one cares what you would have done. You old, and it is what it is. So if you ain't going to punch me when you see me, then stop talking about it. Period. Drop the mic.
By the way, I'm dead serious. This
you old and it is what it is
should be Charles Barkley's ringtone.
You old and it is what it is.
I guess that's Draymond on the line for you, Chuck.
You old and it is what it is.
You tell him that I apologize on a radio station in Chicago. How come he's not apologizing on this radio station? I apologize in Chicago. I offer my apology. did Draymond probably take it a little too far and go further with his anger than was really necessary in that situation? Yes. But as I said earlier in the show, like Captain Dudley Smith told Edmund Exley in the movie L.A. Confidential, it's best to stay away from a man when his blood is up. And I mean it. The Golden State Warriors, their blood is up. They don't want to hear another. They don't want to hear anything else from any media members. I can tell you that. Media members have been threatening him to fight. The media members have been stealing jackets. Media members are just, now's the wrong time to pick a fight with the Golden State Warriors. Trust me. This team has circled the wagons. There will be no more penetrating the Warrior circle of trust. They have closed it. No more intruders. No one's allowed in. No one's allowed out. They are on a mission, and it's to win another NBA title. And they'll be friendly again at the parade, I bet. But right now, the whole time for friendly, that was the entire regular season. You got 82 games of friendly Golden State Warriors. Did you like that? I didn't. I thought the 82-game friendly regular season totally sucked.
It was weird, for sure. It made me definitely rethink it now. I'm like, should I have been concerned? You know what I mean? Now when you look back and think of how well
things
are going.
It is what it is.
Yeah, sorry. I did not mean to
thanks, Damon.
Step on you there. I'm shuffling papers and I'm hitting buttons. Look, I just think that Charles Barkley is a guy who hasn't liked the Warriors one bit. They proved him wrong when they started their run all the way back in 2014. He has doubled down on not liking the Warriors. He's been wrong after being doubled down on it. And he just doesn't have, he just does not have a lot of love for the West Coast. And it's really odd that we always see people that you'd think, like, those two guys should get along great. And they don't get along at all. What's really odd is that Charles Barkley and Draymond Green, wildly similar in the styles of intensity that they brought to the court. Chuck was always more of a scorer than Draymond is, and Draymond's more of a defender than Chuck ever was. But Chuck was really, 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 really good. He's in the Hall of Fame without a title. Like, that didn't happen by accident. He was phenomenal. Draymond Green, he's already won two titles, and as far as guys who have won two titles are concerned, they don't want to hear a word from guys who have won no titles, and there is the group that Charles will always stand in, and that's why guys who won championships and know how to get it done don't want to hear nothing. Just want to hear nothing. We were going to have Charles Barkley's apology when we come on back. I guess we just mind the sound. Wow, the internet is full of wonders. It really is. 888-957-9570. We are guest-free the rest of the way today. If you want to get in, you want to talk about Steph Curry's return, bringing him off the bench, the intensity of last night's game, Draymond just in full war daddy mode, we'll take your calls. We got another half hour we're going to spend with you here at least on 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
You know, no one likes a whiner. No one appreciates a complainer, especially when, you know, you're trying to give away something for free, a little contest. I got a guy here on the text line right now saying, 95.7 The Game's the worst at keeping things fair. I don't see how when I call in, I get a ringtone instead of a busy signal and no one picked up. That's because the contest is over. The chance to qualify has already happened. And you have lost, sir.
You know how hard it is to get through? It's not easy.
Right. If it's just ringing and ringing and ringing and we're not picking it up, it's because the contest has ended. It didn't happen fast enough for you. Oh, by the way, here's what we owe you. Nothing. We owe you absolutely nothing. This is a contest. We give you a chance to enter it. If you didn't enter it in time and you complain, you're a douchebag. Stop being a douchebag your whole life. If you complain like this to your talk show that you listen to, what nudnik must you be at work or to your wife or your children? You must be such a pain in the ass to be around that you complain about everything.
I promise this won't be the only contest we ever run, so there will be more. You'll have other opportunities as well, so.
I'm going to tell you, this one guy, I hope he never wins anything from us. I'm rooting against him from now on. I hate whiners. I hate complainers. Yeah. I cannot take it.
Why are you always complaining about complainers?
I know. I should stop my whining. I really should. So there was a lot of complaining on Draymond Green's behalf last night. He was not happy with what Charles Barkley had to say about him. He wanted an apology, and apparently he just got one, not on a Chicago radio station, but on TNT. Elena, let's hear Charles Barkley's apology to Draymond Green. We have it.
I apologize to Draymond Green and his mom. Listen.
Why his mom?
Well, because she
also
personally tweeted.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
You know, you're one of those idiots who tweet, so I don't pay attention.
Listen, I didn't know. Okay. I didn't know his mom tweeted.
So, you know, Ernie, what I said was inappropriate. I would never punch an NBA player. I would never punch an NBA player. I meant what I said. But I would never punch an NBA player. Draymond Green is a good player. I think he's a nice kid. I wish him nothing but the best. But what I said was inappropriate. And I got guys who are mentors to me. I wrote down here. They called me today and told me what I said was inappropriate. Derek Stafford, Jason Whitlock, and Mike Wilbon. They're my mentors and big brothers. What I said was wrong and inappropriate. I appreciate them reaching out to me. You know what? My personal opinion should never come across in a comment I make about a team or a player. It did last night. Draymond is a hell of a player. He's an irritant. He annoys me at times, but he's a hell of a player. But what I said was wrong, and I apologize.
All right.
Okay.
So I'm not here to grade apologies. C+ at best. You can't apologize for something and then say, well, I meant what I said in the middle of the apology. That's a little weird. And I'm going to tell you this. Draymond, when what he said to Tim Kawakami afterwards is the reason why that. It wasn't because Jason Whitlock or Michael Wilbon called Charles Barkley and said, you know, you really should apologize tonight on your show, that he just apologized. It's because Draymond Green, in print, went right after Chuck's boss, talking about how unprofessional Barkley was, and says, when you look at the president of TNT, David Levy, who I know well, it's kind of embarrassing on their behalf. Again, if you ever want If you ever want a pound of flesh from a broadcaster, don't come after a broadcaster. Broadcaster's never going to give you the satisfaction unless they're forced to by a boss, which basically I just narked on myself. I just told you how to get me in trouble. But I really mean it. There's no amount of like, oh, you're going to rub Chuck the wrong way because Chuck don't care. Mm-mm. Unless you're messing with Chuck's money. Now Chuck's going to care. So there you go. I think Draymond left it at this.
You old and it is what it is.
And he was right. How about that? Charles Barkley, an apology. I apologize.
I think players are getting, I mean, they get it from all sides, from the media, from fans, from Twitter, at the games. At some point, it's got to get old.
And that's it. You know, it's not that you just get it during the game or after the game, but it's whenever you go online, it's whenever you turn on the radio, it's whenever you turn on the TV, you get caught in a vacuum of nonstop analysis, whether it be good or bad about you. And eventually, you cave a little. You're like, enough! Enough is enough! Enough! So eventually, we will reach the straw that breaks the camel's back. Now, maybe it's an impressive amount of straws for the thinner-skinned people out there. Maybe it's not nearly as many straws. Draymond just had it. Just absolutely had it. And he wasn't taking any more of it. Good for him. Good to stick up for himself. Remember, the TNT show, which is one of the greatest shows in the history of sports studio entertainment. It really is. We just had Ernie Johnson on the day before. Love Ernie. He runs an incredible program. It's phenomenal. There's not much about that show I would change. But for Charles Barkley to say, you know, I really shouldn't be putting my own personal opinion into my thoughts. Well, that's what you're there to do. That's what you're there to do. But there's a very, very good rule about broadcasting that I learned a long time ago that I really hope that I stay by more than I ever go against this rule. But the rule is you should never say anything on the air about someone that you wouldn't say to their face.
That's good.
And like Draymond was saying, I very much doubt Charles Barkley would punch me. Why is he saying that? He's had a lot of opportunities to, and I don't understand. I just do not understand how Charles Barkley wouldn't love Draymond Green. They seem to be cut from almost the same cloth.
He could have found a much better way to express his opinion about Draymond without using that language. I think that makes you a better broadcaster.
But here's the thing, Chuck's not interested in being a better broadcaster. He's not. He's just enjoying the job. Like, sure, he makes a nice living doing that, but he doesn't need that. I just think he enjoys it. He enjoys the spotlight, the limelight. He enjoys the soapbox that he gets, and he likes to remain on the main stage, and this allows him to do it. You know, without a title, Charles Barkley would have faded away long ago without this TV program. It's a good thing he's got a personality. By the way, what a luxury it is for Steve Kerr to have a personality of Steph Curry, who even basically came up to him and said, you know what, if you need me to come off the bench, I'll do that for you. That is something that Carmelo Anthony never once did for any coach he ever played for. I have never seen a two-time MVP volunteer to come off the bench in a playoff game. Do you think they'd be able to ever sell that to Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City? Like, let's say Russell was coming off the exact same grade 2 MCL sprain in his knee and needed the time off that Steph just took. And Billy Donovan was like, you know what I'd like you to do? I'd like you to come off the bench in game 2 of this series. Russell Westbrook would, how would Russell Westbrook protest? He'd probably come in wearing a full scuba suit the next day, like wearing flippers coming in and, I mean, I don't know. Like, he wears photography vests. Maybe he wears a scuba suit. Maybe he'd wear a suit of armor. I don't know. But come walking wearing floaties. Doing the weird, I've got flippers on, big step walk. I mean, the guy would protest verbally in the way he dresses, in the way he behaved, in the way he negotiated, in the way he treated everyone. Just asking Russell Westbrook to come off the bench would pretty much be the straw that broke his camel's back. Steph Curry's volunteering the idea. volunteering the idea. It's amazing. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to step aside so you can go ahead and incorporate Kevin Durant to my team. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to prove to everybody that I really am the straw that stirs the drink. And then I'm going to get hurt and I'm going to just work myself back in and I'm going to give the coach the luxury no other coach in the NBA has to bring a player who is the face of their franchise off the bench in a playoff game when he's spending the day before talking about how there's no minute restrictions on anyone. It's just, it. Every now and then, the Warriors, do something that just makes me go, wow, look at what they get to do just because of how they're built. It is an absolute luxury. Bob Myers was on today on the Afternoon Delight. Good news, Curry today, no ill effects.
The fact that he hasn't reported anything and it's 2 o'clock, that means he's fine. Otherwise, he'd be in here and we'd be dealing with it. I'm sure he feels great. And like I said last night after the game, no ill effects.
Going forward?
There was no minute restriction, but we're not going to play him 40 minutes. I mean, so the idea of limiting his minutes and preserving him in the event that we would need him at the end of the game, which looks like we did last night.
The way that I was thinking about it, I really didn't think there was much of a reason to bring Curry off the bench. And if you're getting back to normal is he starts. But what was allowed to happen by Curry coming off the bench last night is they basically inverted all of his backup minutes, and they did what only a team as talented as them has the luxury to do. They hid Nick Young in the starting five the same way that they hid Zaza Pachulia in the starting five for all these games. I mean, it's such a talented group that they can hide someone in their starting five. This gave Curry all the chance to be on the court and close out quarters. Game two was completely different than game one. It's one of the most Jekyll and Hyde series through two games I've seen in a long time. Draymond Green, you keep it up. I don't know if you made up your anger against Charles Barkley. You find another protagonist. I don't care. Like, actually angry, made up angry, forcing it angry, whatever it takes. That's where I want Draymond Green. Just full kill 'em all mode. He was so good at not taking the bait last night. The Pelicans tried to get him to swing. They really did. Charles Barkley tried to get him to swing afterwards. It was really weird. He didn't take the bait. He didn't do it. No rust, a little slop. Give New Orleans credit. They showed up in game two in a way that they did not show up in game one. We'll see what the A's do showing up tonight. Bad news for Johnny Cueto showing up on the disabled list. He is off to possibly seek an opinion from Dr. James Andrews. I don't know how anyone is supposed to spin that as, oh, good news. That's fantastic. I don't know if the Giants can really sustain more injury right now, but they won again today, so they're keeping that going. They've won now, what, 4 series in a row? All right. We talked about the May baseball notes on both sides of the bay. The A's are going to have the Orioles and Astros coming up for the start of their next homestand on Friday. Then they're off to the New York City, Boston, and Toronto. We're going to have, Gianna, not next week, but the week after. You want to go to happy hour?
I think we'll have a lot of opportunities.
We got a lot of free time in 2 weeks. It's almost like an unscheduled, unplanned week of vacation. I'm sure we'll roll out some Facebook Lives.
Definitely.
For you.
Podcasts.
We'll do a podcast or two for you. I will give you a way to get the smack you need and fulfill all your junky promises of the Damon Bruce Show. We will figure it out. We will get you your junk.
We could be a little spicier, too, on the podcast.
Ooh.
Fun.
I get to work dirty. Fantastic. So we've got all of that coming up in 2 weeks from now when we're going to basically have a week vacation due to the East Coast road trip. Then after the A's come back from that, you got Seattle, Arizona, and Tampa. That is a homestand that only a mother could love. By the way, on the A's, congratulations to Sean Manaea, named the American League Pitcher of the Month for April. He is the first That's his first career Pitcher of the Month award. He was 4-1 with a ERA of 1, 4 earned runs in 36 innings pitched. He had 30 strikeouts. He had 1 shutout in 5 starts. And, oh, by the way, he threw a no-hitter. So good for Sean Manaea.
Yeah.
Indiana native tossed the 7th no-hitter in Oakland A's history on April 21st. The first no-hitter by an A's pitcher since Dallas Braden went El Perfecto all the way back in 2010. Braden's Perfecto came against Tampa Bay. Tampa probably sucked right then. I'm not trying to diminish it. What Manaea did, he did it against the red-hot Boston Red Sox, so that was pretty impressive, to say the least. Good for him. As far as the Giants go, May's going to be a big month for the Giants. If they're going to do a lot of winning, they're going to have to do it out on the road. 18 of their 27 games will be away from AT&T Park. They got a big East Coaster coming up. Atlanta, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. They're going to be at Wrigley Field for a weekend a little bit later on this month. So that's the baseball schedule coming up. All attention was paid last week to the NFL. How about this? You want to know how big the NFL is?
How big?
Thanks for asking. The NFL is so big. How big is it? The NFL is so big that a primetime TV show of a bunch of names being read on a list got twice the ratings. Game 7, Cleveland. Who'd they just beat to get to Toronto? The Pacers.
Pacers, yeah.
Cleveland, Pacers, Game 7, LeBron fighting for his life. Like, I know I watched that. You didn't have to sell it to me. I watched that one with... I wanted to. Twice the audience.
Wow.
The NFL drew twice the audience of LeBron facing a Game 7. We will show up for a grocery list of names that the NFL reads into a microphone en masse. Actual NBA playoff games, elimination games. Yeah, we'll check it out.
I mean, we basically watched a job fair.
We did. Oh, nice. By the way, a little update on what's going on in the NBA tonight. Yeah. Utah is up early. It'd be great if they could shock the Rockets, even that series up. Yeah, it's 39-31 Jazz. Still plenty of time to go. It's early second quarter. Of course, tonight.
Done scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Our attention will be paid, San Jose. The bandwagon, I'll be on it.
Done scoring.
The cowboy hat, I'll be riding it hard. I'll be woohoo.
Done scoring.
Make it happen. Ride them. Ride them doggies. This is a must win for the Sharks tonight. I'm not saying that the season and the series would end in Game 5, but if you don't win Game 4, I don't think this series ends with the Sharks winning it. They got to win tonight. They absolutely got to win tonight, the same way that the New Orleans Pelicans know that they got to win Game 3 back in their barn, and I don't know if that's going to happen because they will be ready. Draymond Green, the man who's setting the tone for the Golden State Warriors. He's the one-man tone setter. He's already setting the Game 3 tone.
You know, Game 3 is usually one of the most important games in every series. And we just, you know, we got to go down there and, most importantly, stick to our game plan. I understand, you know, the things that we're trying to do, the guys who we're trying to completely eliminate from the game, execute better on offensive end. I don't think we did a great job of executing tonight. We got to execute better and just, you know, really try to stick to our defensive principles and, you know, and saying that you can do all that and they can still win the game. So, you know, but most importantly, you know, if we do all those things and go battle, with the mindset that we need to take into their home court, you know, we'll give ourselves a chance to win, but it's going to be tough.
2-0 on the Pelicans, and the big news, of course, is the prodigal son has returned.
Felt great. Real eager as of late, trying to get back out there and, you know, be with my teammates and, you know, do what I love to do. So to get back out there on the floor, play some playoff basketball, and get a big win tonight, it was huge. It was a good feeling. The crowd was crazy, and obviously we did what we needed to do in these first two games, going up 2-0, and we got to have our game travel to New Orleans.
And I tell you, like Steve Kerr said, some players absolutely have a sense of the moment, and Steph Curry rises to those moments like no one else. It was a long time coming for his moment.
It was an eternity, it felt like, for sure. You know, when the lights come back on after starting lineups, you're usually in that goal kind of mind frame, and had to kind of pace myself and be patient with it. Seemed like it took forever, but it was a good feeling to get back out on the floor and just let loose and have fun.
Yeah, he got into the game, and he paced himself to the tune of leading the Warriors in scoring. The guy's just phenomenal. He really, really is. Hopefully they keep it on going. Win game three. Let the Pelicans know that, sure, they could pick up a game, but they're not going to threaten you in this series. Pelicans' chance of winning it. The Warriors win game three, turns into this.
No.
No chance at all.
And
no.
Kirk.
Yes.
Kirk confirming that Curry will start on Friday.
Absolutely. Steph Curry's not going to be coming off the bench. Don't get used to that. So there goes his chances for sixth man of the year. Already sabotaging that award for next year. Come on. I'll tell you. Another thing we talked to Steve Kerr about was, you know, the other guys. We were so focused on Draymond. We were so focused on Steph Curry. A couple of other Warriors had themselves really good games, starting with the crafty vet.
Iguodala crossing midcourt, looking, shifting to the right side, still dribbling, takes it to the far wing. Pointing out a post-up opportunity for Durant, feeds him, give it go, Andre to the rack, and he dunked it right over the top of Mirotić. Slammed it down. Welcome to YouTube.
Maybe that's why Mirotić got in Draymond's face a little bit later on. He was still aching from that posterizing. Iguodala wasn't done for the evening.
Thompson, one-on-one with Moore, throws up top. Iguodala fakes. He'll drive with one on the clock, goes up, scoop off the glass and in for Andre Iguodala. And the Warriors needed that in the worst way.
Big, big shot. He twisted his body and put a little spin on it.
And then he just started knocking down. Like, when you blow a dunk and the ball bounces 20 feet up off the rim, and it comes down right in the middle of the net, you know it's going to be your night.
Etuan Moore dribbling in traffic. Jump pass deflected away by Iguodala. It's a foot race. Andre's got it. Goes up and misses the dunk. Oh, it went in. It bounced off the rim high in the air. It went in. He got fouled by Rondo.
Oh, my.
Amazing. Jim, I don't ever recall seeing that.
Yeah.
Ever.
I really have never seen anything quite like that, and that's what the Warriors are the best at. Showing you something you really haven't seen before on a basketball court. They deliver on that promise an awful lot of the time. One other big story that we really didn't spend much time on today, because I don't make much sense of this story yet. Eric Reed is going to bring a collusion case against the NFL. John Lynch, when he was asked about it on the morning show today, he danced all around it, saying all the things that make sure that you're not dragged into that collusion case.
And we've been in touch with his agent, his representative throughout. And there's so many things that go into these free agency. And I think primarily Eric's a good guy. He was a good player for us, a good leader for us. And I just wish him well.
All the right things. He mentioned it's a slow safety market, and he might be right about that. You say, oh, there's other safeties better than he still on the board. They're not bringing any action against the NFL. Of course, Eric Reed will forever be connected to the Colin Kaepernick anthem protest. He supported Kaepernick right away. Whether or not that is still lingering in teams' decision makings, that's for us to ponder, some judge to decide. But I would say this. How can you prove collusion against you when you haven't missed a single game yet? Like, the NFL's schedule has not begun. Week one has not been played by anybody. How can you sue a league for collusion when the year hasn't even started yet? How do you know that you won't be on a team's roster? You might be. So bringing this court case against the NFL to me is just poor career planning. I mean, the one guy I would never hire would be the guy with an open legal lawsuit against my company. That would be pretty much a non-starter for me, and I'm guessing that's the way the NFL will look at this. Very, very odd, very weird, and it's a story that I told you a long time ago. Hey, the NFL is just going to get this thing swept under the carpet. Right or wrong, good thing, bad thing, it's standing in the way of business. And nothing is going to be standing in the way of the NFL's business. There's no amount of feel-good, right thing to do, proper for society that the NFL gives a damn about. And if you thought that there really was a oh, the NFL cares. You were a sucker. You've been a sucker this whole time. And I'm so happy that I could share that with you, because breaking a little truth is what we like to do here on the show. And thank you very much for accepting the role in life we sometimes play. Sometimes we're all suckers. No sucker for Steve Kerr, though. This guy's the best. He said no minute restrictions, and then he brings Steph Curry off the bench. I did not see that one coming. I was totally wrong about it. And we talked to Steve about it, and we want to run that past you again. In case you missed Steve Kerr about an hour ago, we're going to have him for you as we get you ready for a little A's baseball around the corner here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.